May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be beloved in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Is this on? Can you hear me okay? All right. I brought this up there. It's more of a psychological barrier that I like little lecterns because if things are usually going bad, I like the big ones because then if it's going bad, I can imagine myself kind of just sinking behind it and crawling out the back of the church. This is a small one, so I can't hide very far behind it, but it's amazing to be here in this gorgeous sanctuary. I've been here in this building only once before, helping with the search call committee. I can't remember which part of the process. Somewhere over here, I remember a meeting in that room. And many of you may not know that Eric and I have known each other for a long time. Eric was on the committee that called me to Church of the Apostle, the board there. I don't know how you voted, but the board accepted me there. And he was my brother's roommate in seminary many, many years ago. And so I've always had a connection. And I hike with Bill every year. So I've had lots of little connections to this place from afar and always admired. And Church of the Apostles, I think, is a relative to this place in many ways, because I know there's been a lot of a generous, creative spirit that has run through the liturgies and in the expression of this worshiping community. And in my role as canon for congregations, I don't even understand fully what the title means, all of those pieces. That's one of those things I'm living into. But I get to do a lot of visits to congregations, go to places a couple times a month. I'm traveling around all of Western Washington to see what other churches are up to listen to them, and experience what's going on in their places. And across the board, people are right now, as you know, anxious about what is happening politically, economically. It's just a really hard and rough time right now. And the church itself is struggling. And so I'm struck by this line in the book of Haggai today. And there are some tricky names in this one. Thank you for reading it. I always thought Zerubbabel and Jehozadak would make great children's names, in case anyone is gonna. Or I was imagining a pair of Great Danes would be incredible, those two names. We don't have these passages cross-stitched above our dining room table. It's not a book we're familiar with all the time. But this line, "Who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory?" Oh man, that is a really hard line. And I could ask that question in churches I walk into. Who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? And I could feel and know that there would be some pain and sorrow and grief among people in churches because the church is feeling that. I could ask that of the whole church. We feel like this thing is just dying away. There's people aren't coming. And remember when we had all these people, it was hard to keep them out of the church. They were just pouring in the gates of our congregation and our choir and our children's programs. Every place I visit, there is this sense of longing for this former glory. And in this book, they're coming out of the exile here. And it's fascinating, this book, because they're trying to rebuild this temple, and they're trying hard at it, and they can't quite get to that place of that former glory to rebuild this Solomonic temple, this beautiful thing. And they're losing interest and energy. And Haggai's trying to just like, hey, let's keep at it. God has promised. God is working with us. How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing? And to a lot of people, it feels like nothing. And so the tendency in a lot of churches, in a lot of communities, and in the church capital C, is because it feels like it's almost nothing that we need to protect it, what we have left, that precious gem that we have at the core. Let's just make sure we don't lose that last little bit that we have and hold tight to that at all costs. I want you to do something for me. I want you to look over your left shoulder. And this is going to be, this shoulder is going to be looking towards your past, the former glory. I think former glory is a name I could nickname myself in some ways. I think of my body as it is slowly aging. But former glory. We're going to look to our past and just kind of look to your left, close your eyes. Think of the former glories, the programs, all of the things of churches you've been a part of all your life, all those former glories. All right, bring your head to the center again. There's a weight, a gravitational pull of former glories here in Haggai. And even the prophet himself, he talks about this great imagery of like picking up the world and God's going to shake it out and the coins are going to fall out and fall back into the church somehow, like a couch, lifting it up and pulling out all the lost keys and everything back into the church. This longing for the pieces just come back into the fold. We want what we had. Then we have this gospel reading, which is not my favorite reading in the world, in the Gospels. That's also not one I don't have above the dining table as well, with the seven brothers, and the Sadducees are trying to trap Jesus. Jesus has come into Jerusalem. He is acting in such a way that's going to get himself killed, right? He's causing trouble in the temple, turning tables, and they're looking for ways to trap him. So this is one of their ways to trap Jesus, to get him caught, to find him, to put his foot in his mouth. And Jesus is onto it, so as people gathered there, people are coming to listen to Jesus in the temple. He's drawing crowds to himself because of his teachings. And it's a bad question, the question asked. So Jesus just draws the question out of this, of worrying about the small details of what it means in the future afterlife, how to sort out the complications of who's going to be married to who, how is this going to be all sorted out, to what does it mean to live in this present moment and how God lives with us in a resurrected life and in the eternal life here and now, in this moment right now. So they're trying to focus on all of these pieces that are technical details that can really distract us from what is actually important at the core. I have a friend from seminary, Kyle Brooks, and I remember he used to talk about this, when he would talk about the law, he would talk about it like putting together sheet music. You know, a good musician, it's not just the music, the law is like the sheet music, you put all the notes together on a page. But just looking at that thing and understanding the notes, even understanding the music theory isn't going to make beautiful music, right? You have to understand expression, the space between the notes, the air that moves as we sing, the resonance of voices in the room, the kind of living into the musical moment. That piece of music itself is not a living and breathing thing. And so the Sadducees are trying to trap him in this law of this details, this process of this future peace, of complicating everything. But Jesus is bringing us right back to what matters in the moment, the music itself, this moment, and how God is present. And there's that beautiful line at the end of that passage. Now he is God not of the dead, but of the living. He is God not of the dead, but of the living. We come this week on the heels of All Saints, reflecting on the generations upon generations of saints that have paved the way for us, that have held this path for us, and the generations and generations of saints before us that are wanting us and pulling us forwards even as we speak. So I want you to turn your head to your right shoulder now. This is going to be the future shoulder, all right? Left, past, right, future. So I want you to close your eyes and look to your right. Think of all the anxieties and perfections of that future church, the thing that we want, the glory, all the things that we can imagine, how we wish it could be. And let go of all of that. And bring your head back to the center, to the present. The way I like to imagine the movement of All Saints and that kind of momentum of both the past and present, the people before and after us, is like when I was a child, we had an above ground pool, one of those round ones. And one of the funnest things, you probably did this if anyone swam one of those, one of the funnest things as a kid is you run around the side of the pool, right, to create the kind of whirlpool. And you're running, the faster you go around, then finally everyone stops and they just kind of cruise around the edge of the pool, right? And I think a lot of the movement of what the church is doing and the saints that have gone before us is kind of getting that current moving, right? Of the work we do in the church, the griefs, the sorrows, the mistakes we've made, but also the successes we've had as a church and the work that we are trying to do as we learn what it means to love God and to love neighbor and to fail at it and to succeed at it. Over and over again, we're creating this beautiful current, and we're hoping that it makes it easier as people kind of jump in and flow right into that thing. So constantly, so that as people fall into line, these kind of baptismal waters, constantly flowing in the grace of God as we move forward into the future. If you look at the cover of your bulletin, I sent these two photos in. The first picture on the left here, the hanami, which is in Japan, that practice. Hanami just basically means look at the flowers. In Japanese, it's this practice where people gather with under the cherry blossoms, and they just eat and hang out and look at flowers under these beautiful, gigantic trees, these cherry blossoms, that only come for this limited time during the year. Has anyone experienced that before? And it's just a majestic, incredible, and you know it is a fleeting moment. And their school year, their work years, all these times align with this period of the year. So you are ending your school year when the trees bloom around April 1st, and beginning a new year. You're saying goodbye to old friends, goodbye to jobs, and you're starting new things. So there's often weddings at this time, there's celebrations. So it becomes this time of deep sorrow and deep joy, of unexpected futures, of saying goodbye to things, all mixed together in this one moment. And people just sit and eat together under these cherry blossoms, sad and joyful all at once, experiencing this as community, looking at the flowers. On the right, this picture, this is a cremation ceremony in Bali, Indonesia. And these cremation ceremonies are unbelievable. They take years and years and years to plan. This funny looking tower that's kind of leaning up on the side, there would be bodies in this, and the tower moves, and it even folds down so it can go under electrical wires and folds back up, and they run and they twist it around because they're trying to keep the spirits from not wanting to stay on earth, so that it's like they're trying to trick the spirit to not being attached to the earth. And then it's a joyful celebration. There's music, there's gamelan music playing, their orchestras, and there are all these youth bands playing music as they process through the streets. They all, as you can see here, they have offerings they're bringing to celebrate the gift of this life. It's a communal celebration, so they're carrying it on their shoulders, the death of this person, into the moment with joy, with celebration, laughter, and love. Living into that present. So as we reflect on All Saints, as we reflect on this left shoulder of the past, this future, the people pulling us forward, both of these represent something of holding those right in the present in front of us to focus us in this moment for the richness of this life that God gives us, just as Jesus does in this gospel lesson, saying it's not about all these details about the afterlife. You're distracting us from what it means right now to be alive within the love of Christ right now in this moment. In Haggai, it's not about that former glory of what the temple used to be, because that you'll always be looking backwards and never looking into this moment. Work and rest in the promise of God, he says. The promises God is with you. Do not fear. Take courage. As a church, the gift of this place, the gift that you offer to this community as a space for transformation, for transfiguration, for life lived out in this present moment, for redefining what it means to be human, to be Christ-like right now when it is needed more than anything in this world. People are starving for life, for words of life. So this is that treasure shaken out right here, right in the midst at this table in the form of bread and wine. This is Jesus carried in a parade of joy and celebration in the midst. This is us gathered under trees, blossoms, eating, having a picnic. We should have a gingham cloth right here at this picnic table as we share with one another the joys and sorrows of the past and present all mixed in one in this gorgeous place where we get to live and know what it means to be called by Christ, to love a world that needs love. So I want to end by doing a body prayer. What I want you to do first, put your hands up. I'm going to do a prayer with just a few short motions, and then we're just going to do the motions. First, just look at your hands. Kind of trace your wrinkles, scars, spots, soreness. Rub your hands together. Don't count them. We'll be here for a while. Put them out like this. And now, holding your hands like this, look over that left shoulder. Don't look at your hands. You're not allowed to look at them. Close your eyes. Just think of the things that you need to let go of or you want to let go of. Things of the past. Look for the treasures of the past that strengthen us, the ancestors, those that support us. Hold tight to those. Even as you're looking to the past, you know, even though you're not looking at those hands, something is glowing in them. Now turn your head to the right shoulder. Think of the future, the perfect laid out plans, everything we are anxious about, our anxieties. Let go of those, and now look back at the gift that is in those hands, the very humid human hands that glow like the moonlight right there in the midst. God present in your life at this moment. And lastly, put your hands on your shoulders. Feel the presence of those who have gone before and those coming after us. And God, the Spirit, breathing in us and through us, take a breath in and a breath out. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Mother of us all, amen. Amen.